I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Erica Pietler. Erica is a certified leadership performance coach, high-impact facilitator, author, and speaker who partners with CEOs and their leadership teams to accelerate business performance and productivity through personal and professional growth. Erica, welcome to the show.
Thank you, David. Glad to be here.
Tell me a little bit about your business and how you got started in it.
Sure. So my business is a coaching and consulting practice, and it's probably very boutique-y. I'm pretty targeted, and I'm sure we'll talk a little bit in the show about how I target my practice, but it's a very targeted practice. And I've been in this business for about 10 years. The road that I took to get to this business was that I was a healthcare pharmaceutical executive, grew up in the marketing and sales ranks, had one of the lucky types of careers where I was a go-getter, I was a good problem solver, and the companies that I worked for and the bosses that I worked for saw that in me and provided me with an opportunity to touch and feel and move and, you know, be one of these high potentials that got to see and do a lot of different challenges throughout the organization. What became apparent pretty quickly was communication skills were something that I excelled at, and I was not afraid to tackle difficult problems that no one else had a solution for. So my internal corporate practice started to streamline itself into turnarounds. And I grew up kind of turning businesses around, coming up with solutions where maybe other solutions weren't yet available. And for about 10, 20 years, did that in the corporate world until I hit a wall at about 41 and decided, whew, I need a break. I want to do something different. I probably had hit my plateau or hit my barrier and decided to find a new entry point and decided that leadership coaching and consulting was really where my passion was.
And how did, talk to me a little bit about the wall. What made you think that you hit a wall?
Yeah, so the wall was probably a combination of there was a never-ending stream of turnarounds and problems, but they felt similar. It felt like it was fixing something that was broken. It felt like it was a problem where we wanted to always take shortcuts, perhaps, in the corporate world. We weren't necessarily coming up with a real sustainable solution. It just felt like a combination of multiple jobs being put on my plate at the same time, which I really loved for many, many years. And then it became exhausting and probably a little bit of burnout. So for me, the focus got really narrow. The tasks became maybe a little bit boring and repetitive. And I needed really a break. And I took that break. I did something I think that was very unique and very rare in the corporate world. I decided to just stop. I didn't have a plan of what I was going to do next. I didn't have another job. The company I was working for was shocked because I was probably on a number of succession planning roles and probably upset their apple cart. But I just needed to stop. And I actually took a year off. I took a full year and I said, I'm not going to look for another job. I'm going to invest time in myself. I'm going to exercise, go on a spiritual journey. I did all sorts of courses and learning and just let my life kind of breathe energy back into itself. And what started to become apparent is, you know, once I started to have that time and that reflection, I really loved leadership. I loved transformation and I loved turnarounds, but I really wanted to focus more on the people side of it as opposed to just the business side of it. And that's where the coaching opportunity really started to take life. One thing I did, by the way, in that year off was I also decided to write a book because I wanted to put down into words and frameworks what this kind of a journey was like. Like what happens when you hit that wall? What happens when you don't know what's next and you have to dig down deep inside? And my first book was called Open Up and Say Ah, and it really was about personal change and transformation. my second book that I wrote, Leadership Rigor, is really about change and transformation within the corporate setting.
Mm. And what was the first step you took after the year off?
So after the year off, and maybe just a little bit before the year was up, I decided, okay, I'm going to write this book and I'm going to go get trained and certified professionally to become a leadership coach. I knew I wanted to coach and I had been coaching. I mean, I was a senior executive. I was I ran a $400 million pharmaceutical company. I was a senior vice president, a general manager. I had hundreds of people working for me. So I had coached pretty significantly, but I really wanted to take the time to lay down a foundation of specific skill sets. I really wanted to be trained and certified so that I could look myself in the mirror and say, you know, you really did take this on and you have the skills to do this. So writing the book, getting certified as a leadership coach, and then just as happenstance would have it, I actually met on my coaching curriculum journey some folks that were part of an organization called Vistage, which you may know as a peer advisory group with CEOs and executives. And I met them and they introduced me to the concept of what is Vistage. And while I was also building my private leadership practice, I also became a chair for Vistage for about 7 years.
Yeah, it's a very popular program.
Mm-hmm.
Erica, what unexpected surprises happened once you started your own business?
So, you know, what's interesting was, I was pretty successful and decided to bungee jump. So I would characterize myself as someone who has a pretty high risk tolerance and someone who's pretty open to change. So I took that risk and I thought, worst case scenario, what would happen? You know, I'd go back and get another job. But the unexpected pieces that happened was I wasn't ever scared. I wasn't concerned about making money. As soon as I started to write the book, it started to flow. As soon as I did the paperwork and logistics for the business, people were referring me to other people in the corporate world, friends and colleagues that I had been connected with. So my business immediately kind of took off and then it grew pretty consistently over the 10 years. I think one of the secrets when I reflect back on, okay, so many of the people in your audience are solopreneurs. They want to be successful. They want to build a business. You know, what was it that helped me to bring some of that magic? I think for me, I was a pretty accomplished business leader. And when I went into the leadership coaching world, I was coaching people who probably hadn't reached some of the levels that I had already reached. So I really had a pretty robust toolkit and set of experiences to offer to them. And my whole philosophy is really about there's nothing we can't talk about. So I set up the fundamental premise of all of my engagements and all of my relationships as we're going to talk about what needs to be said. I'm in search of helping you to achieve breakthroughs. You would call that smashing a plateau. And you're going to build a leadership practice and it's a journey. And therefore, there's continuity to that. So, you know, when you talk about things like interest in recurring revenue or building an ongoing business, the way I frame my relationships in the context of a practice and a journey already sets up an expectation that there is going to be an ongoing recurring relationship between us that will be not a series of weeks or months, but probably a series of months. And as it is with many of my clients, years.
Right. So one of the premises, if we could segue into how you actually do make money on a recurring basis, because many of our listeners do worry about making money, is you need to think about the people that you're serving on a recurring basis.
Yes.
Right? And the relationships are going to be recurring. This is not getting a new customer in or a new client in, and then we're done.
Right. So my business, the way I have built it, is I'm pretty selective. I might be at times now more selective than my potential clients would be. So when I said at the top of the show that, you know, my philosophy is it's a boutique kind of coaching and consulting firm, I have come to learn, and it wasn't an immediate thing, but over the first couple of years, what I started to learn, and now what I think I'm pretty disciplined at, is you have to really know who you are. If you're going to be a solopreneur, it doesn't really matter what that solopreneur is in. It could be coaching, consulting. It could be a variety of things. You really need to know who you are, and you need to be able to clearly match up with what people need. And if it is not a very strong match, you might want the money, you might want the job, but my strong encouragement would be to walk away from it, because only when you know who you are and you match to the needs of who the client is and what they need, that's when magic happens. And when magic doesn't happen, you don't do your best work and there is no recurring revenue. So it's a one-shot pony. It takes time and effort away from you ultimately finding the magic spots, and you don't ultimately get to where you need to get to. So, you know, in terms of what you're focusing on, I never really focus on money to begin with. I focus on who are the people that I should have a relationship with. And my focus on my business has always been to start at the top of the house. So often my clients are the CEO, and it may be the CEO of a small to mid-sized business. It may be the functional head, a vice president, a senior vice president within a larger organization, but someone who is at a top of a group or a team where there is a number of people below them. And I form that relationship. I usually start either with coaching or doing something on a one-to-one basis. And then as I start to get to know them and as I start to get to know some of their challenges, I can bring this integration of my business skills and my leadership skills to the general broader problems that they're facing. And then we engage on a more intimate level, and I start to get into coming up with customized journeys for them that could be about taking their team from one level to the next or their business from one level to the next. But I start at the top of the house and I cascade down. I don't start in the middle. I don't start at the bottom. So I'm really clear about my program and my approach for it to be, let's say, recurring revenue or a long-term relationship, or really for me to work the magic that I bring to the table, it needs to start at the top of the house. So your entry point really needs to be clear. You need to know who you are, what you're offering, and what your entry point is. That's not true for every business and every solopreneur that's out there. So, you know, starting in the middle or starting with one particular functional expert within the organization, you need to know who that is. For me, it's the CEO.
Right. And it also sounds to me like, given the boutique nature of your business, that your ideal client is somebody who has a decent sized budget to work with.
Yeah, you know, it varies. So it varies, and I would say that it ranges pretty significantly. And I don't say yes or no based on the size of the budget. My criteria, and usually the criteria I challenge my clients on, is, well, what's the nature of the challenge that you're facing? And again, you know, am I the person uniquely able to help you and get you to where you need to get to? So, I mean, I'll do small assignments, but I may do small assignments iteratively over a period of time. So I have, you know, a number of clients that I would say are small in terms of the engagement that we've had. I've had some, you know, whales, you know, people who have, you know, very sizable businesses who become incredibly inspired and motivated by progress that they've seen in themselves as that CEO, and want to bring that magic and want to bring that opportunity and that gift. They want to give that gift of leadership development to their organization. And yeah, those may be very large programs for pretty significant periods of time. So I've had both. I've had many in the middle. But I'm not a discriminator on that. Really, the challenge and the person on the other side of the table is really the lens that I look through to make that decision.
Yeah, that makes sense. And now, Erica, thinking about a solopreneur business, are there ways that you would recommend that solopreneurs think about how they structure their business so that more and more of their revenue comes in on a recurring basis?
So, I mean, yeah, a couple things I can say. And by the way, being a solopreneur, you know, just making that decision is not insignificant. And, you know, many people think that they can be a solopreneur, but they're actually not able to develop that recurring business, and they're not able to, you know, really make enough to support themselves. So I think, you know, one of the things, and I'm sure you've talked about this with many of the guests on your show, you know, again, know who you are. You might not be capable of being a solopreneur. To be a solopreneur, you have to have a deep and a broad skill set. You have to have a tremendous amount of discipline, a tremendous amount of focus. You have to be able to do things quicker than most people can in shorter periods of time. And you have to be incredibly disciplined and organized with time management. So, you know, I remember when I was first starting my coaching practice, I made it really clear to myself, okay, here's how I'm going to work. You know, for someone to engage in a coaching relationship with me, it's minimally going to be 12 sessions. They're going to be an hour and a half. The cost is going to be between X and Y. It's going to contain this. It's not going to contain this. And I'm pretty specific about that. And I think in that guardrail that I kind of put out there, I think my clients become comfortable with the approach because I've thought it through. I'm pretty clear about it. I could be flexible. I mean, I could do a mini engagement, or sometimes engagements flip over into longer term multiple iterations of it. But for me, one of the things that I learned really early on was that I have to manage my time really, really well. That time is what I am putting out there as a measure of the currency for the engagement. And, you know, a lot of people will try to ask you and second guess you. I've had many clients say, well, what do you charge an hour? You know, and I go, I don't charge by the hour. I charge by the engagement, and I give a price to an engagement. And that involves and entails prep time on my end, spontaneous time that I know that client is going to need over time. But I put that together and say, here's what this book of work in my world is both valued at and I think appropriate for me to engage with. And I think a lot of solopreneurs probably don't know how to value themselves. So I always think that the way that you price your value and your contribution in the market is directly related to your self-esteem. So you want to be a successful solopreneur, you better have some broad and wide skill sets, deep skill sets, and an awful lot of confidence and self-esteem, or you're not going to be able to survive and not be able to make money. And, you know, I've gotten my practice to the point where I tell my clients, look, I can only take on X number of clients. So I challenge them to make commitments very early. So, for example, in the fourth quarter of last year, all of 2018 was booked. So I have all of 2018 booked except for 35 open days. Now there's 365 days, all but 335 are committed to, whether that be for preparation, for engagements, for workshops, you know, vacation time. So I'm really clear about the time, and I'm really clear about the investment, and I'm really clear about what I think the value is of my engagement.
We can all make more money, but we can't make more time.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you don't get a handle on that, like one thing I wanted to share with you, and this, I don't know whether this is helpful to your audience or not, but let's just say, you know, if you're working with two or three companies and you're working deeply, and I work deeply with two or three companies, meaning I work at multiple levels with many executives, and there may be a combination of workshops, there may be a combination of coaching sessions. You know, I'm really, strategic. I don't know if that's the right word, but I'm very organized with respect to how I develop the calendar. And a day is developed in a certain way, and I don't have, you know, an hour here and 90 minute breaks there and, you know, five clients here and two clients here. It's very, very orderly and it's very structured. And I find that, you know, the clients that I work with, when I structure them and they're committed to the work that we're going to do, there's this increasing value that we both place on the work. They place an enormous value on it because I'm pretty clear with them about what the ground rules are for engaging together. And if they get the value out of me and they also get the discipline with the time, you know, we start to get into a rhythm where they are growing and changing and looking forward to the time that we're spending together. They're getting value out of it. And it's never really even a question of whether they're going to continue. It's almost like the continuity becomes really natural because we've gotten into a flow. We've gotten into a structure. And, you know, we talk money once in the year. We talk scheduling once in the year. And then every other interaction we've had throughout the course of the year is high value conversations about moving their business ahead and helping them to grow and helping them to develop. So, you know, it all kind of fits together. And I think when you create flow with your clients, that's when you, again, put down seeds for recurrence, continuity, and ongoing nature of the business that you're working with them.
Well, Eric, it sounds like you have done a phenomenal job of creating a business that is successful for who you are and also mm-hmm. works well for the kinds of clients that you desire to serve. And I'm wondering if we could shift the conversation and perhaps talk about somebody else you know who has done a really remarkable job of smashing the plateau.
You know, I thought about this, you know, before we got on the phone together, because I thought that might be actually a question that you were going to ask. And the way that I sort of reflected on this was, my clients, the CEOs that I work for, have, smashed through any one of a number of plateaus. And, you know, what I call it in my coaching practice is I call it breakthroughs. Right. So, you know, smashing a plateau, you know, they're stuck at a level, they need to get to another level. So, I would say that the business for me that's recurring, as you know, you would like to talk about it, is because the CEOs and the clients that I'm working with are having their continuous breakthroughs and smashing the plateau from one level to the next level. So we're continuously leveling up. I could pick someone arbitrarily out in the environment who's smashing a plateau. But the honest answer is, you know, if you're a solopreneur and if you're doing good work with your clients should be routinely and regularly able to look at the work you're doing together and say, you know, last year we were here, we've moved to this level, we've had that breakthrough. Or sometimes it takes multiple years. And I've had a couple of CEOs that have really struggled with, you know, getting to that really big breakthrough that they want. And it takes multiple years. But sometimes when you're looking at behavior changes in teams and you're looking at building trust and people really evolving their leadership practices in a way that it can orchestrate an organizational change, that does take a lot of time. But I would point to my clients, actually. And, you know, for people who want to know who some of my clients are, you know, you can go to my website and see some of the people that I work with. But I think in your line of work and in the work that, you know, you're asking people about, I hope that the people that are smashing through the plateaus are the clients of the solopreneurs.
Well said. Well said. Erica, what can we look forward to in the near future from you?
So for me, right now, much of my work is in customized journeys around the current book that I have out there, which is called Leadership Rigor, which basically looks at leading yourself, leading teams, and leading organizations. And, you know, again, to use your terminology, it's very plateau driven, meaning, you know, you have to learn how to lead yourself before you could lead at the team level and then lead at the organizational level because it requires different skills and different mindsets. And I map that out in the book. You know, the work that I'm doing right now is focused around customized leadership journeys for small to mid-sized businesses that are looking to help evolve their organizations along that continuum. What I hope to do, David, in the next, I would say, year and a half, is start the third book in the series that I've been writing, which is Personal Transformation, Organizational Transformation. And that really relates to this concept that I've coined called wizardship, which is the next generation of leadership that says once you as an executive or as a business leader have completed your in structure, in corporate function as a leader, how do you evolve out into that next stage where you're the mentor, the trusted advisor, the board member? And what does leadership look like evolving out of the traditional framework of the work you have done and into now more of that senior level, wisdom-based mentor that can help develop other, not only leaders and CEOs, but take that leadership learning on the road in the day-to-day life as you move into that next phase, which is hopefully retirement or re-energizing yourself with more of a balance between the work and the life that, you know, you've developed.
Well, that sounds great. And Erica, how can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at Erica Pietler. I am on LinkedIn. My website is Erica Pietler, PEITLER.com. And I, regularly put up some blogging and some articles. I do a lot of podcasts. My email is Erica@ericapietler.com. If you're interested in learning more about leadership coaching or if someone is out there and wants to understand more of the tips and tricks that have work for me in terms of being a solopreneur, I'm happy to connect with anyone.
Sounds great. Well, Erica, it's been great having you on Smashing the Plateau today, talking about how you have done a phenomenal job of serving the people who are your clients and building a really great business. So thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been leadership performance coach, author, and speaker Erica Pietler. Thank you again, Erica, for joining us.
Thank you, David.